Podtacular 288 Speculatory Ops for May 7th, 2012.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your host, G. Lewis.
Guest host. Are you demoting yourself now?
Oh, co-host.
I'm your co-host, Half-Link.
Yeah.
Whoa.
At least you got yours right. G-Lewis doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, come on, Greg, get with the program.
I'm in left fielder, you guys.
He's kind of like Alan Colmes on Fox News. He's no longer like a kind of a regular because he left because he retired of all the conservative hate on him, but he still pops up from time to time.
Sure. Oh, this is...
Sounds good to me.
All right. I don't watch that much political news, so I wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Political news.
Yeah.
And we love Pokemon.
I also enjoy Pokemon. Oh, yeah, you guys hear about Pokemon Black and White, too?
Heard about it. Don't know much about it, though.
Yeah. You know how, like, every Pokemon generation... Right, they do the two first new games, and then they do, like, a third one, like, a special edition.
Right? Yeah.
But it's like, you know, okay, first, like, Ruby and Sapphire, the special edition is Emerald, that works.
Right, and then there was Gold and Silver and Crystal.
Yeah, that works, too. But it's, like, Black and White, what is the special edition going to be? Gray? Pokemon Gray?
I guess.
Like, yeah, I mean, that just sounds so dull.
Well, you could do Steel, I guess.
Or maybe Granite or something, I don't know, but...
Something that's a little more creative cool than black sounding, and white, yeah, would be
Pokemon
nice.
Pokemon Cortez.
Cortez? That's not a color.
I'm just making stuff up.
What color would Cortez be?
I don't know.
Like a clayish red? Reddish clay?
Maybe. You should Google it. I think.
You can Google it. I am going to get on with the show and get to some Halo 4 stuff.
Yes.
So, we talked about the weapons last time on the show, and this time we're going to talk about some other multiplayer-related stuff to Halo 4, starting with Spartan Ops. Now, we know that Firefight is not making a return explicitly or specifically for Halo 4, but from what it sounds like, Spartan Ops is going to be an apt replacement. Now... 343 has come out and said, if you're a big fan of Firefight, you're not going to be disappointed with Spartan Ops. And I have a feeling that we're probably going to see a lot of games that are basically Firefight renditions that are going to be some of the storylines in Spartan Ops. But I want to kind of take this time to speculate on what other type of scenarios we're going to see. So I would assume that we're probably going to see some campaign-like stuff. Where you
protect this, get this thing.
Yeah, where you have a group of your Spartan Force, and whoever you play with, go out and do like a small campaign mission. I would want to see some kind of, not exactly like verbatim fights from the book, but some of the battles that you see in some of the earlier books would be interesting to play some kind of, or... playing some kind of simulation, those different battles. So, what would you guys think would be in there? What kind of multiplayer spaces would you like to see in Spartan Ops?
I think Spartan Ops is going to be more like it's going to put you, aka the Spartan, in like training situations. So, there might be certain.
Well,
things.
They've said that Spartan Ops is actually ground missions, where the whole multiplayer while you're on Infinity is actually. Separate from Spartan Ops.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're probably going to have a mission where you're going to be in a tank. You're probably going to have a mission where you're going to have to go save somebody. I see a lot of stuff where you're going to be fighting the Covenant. I don't think you'll be fighting... Maybe you'll be fighting other Spartans. That'd be cool. But they said there'd be no bots, so I guess maybe not. I don't really see too many Forerunner-type things that we'll be fighting against, but there has to be something.
There's this whole kind of thought about there's this new enemy that's out there. And from what 343 is hinting at, there definitely is some kind of new
precursor
force out there. It could be precursor, could be forerunner. We don't know. But it does seem like, and this is what 343 has been hinting to, that there's some other species or race out there that we're going to encounter in Halo 4. Now, we definitely have seen the Covenant in there, and the Covenant's going to be one of the main bad guys in this game. But there's other race, we don't know if they're going to be fighting against us, if they're going to be fighting with us, if they're
another... We know we'll be fighting against them. We know.
So, there's a lot of speculation there. Do you think...
I could just see certain situations where it's like, you have missions maybe like the Maw, where you're going to have this certain amount of time to get from one point to another point in a Warthog. You can see stuff like that.
So timed events, which you don't really see much nowadays. And
I think it'll be a variety of... Well, that's because, you know, it's too hard, But I think we'll see a variety of stuff. You know, there'll be like, you know, go in, kill people, maybe extract this data thing, get out, defend against waves, defend this extraction point against waves of enemies. Yeah, time limit type stuff. Yeah, I mean, a variety, like a conglomerate, tons of different levels, I'm sure.
So, take, and I'm trying to be as cautious with using this analogy as possible, but take a lot of action sequences that you see from Hollywood films, like what you said, Daft, the infiltrate and take out, like, intel or something.
Yes.
Stuff like that would be very interesting to have in a first-person shooter and have that variety of multiplayer space in the Spartan Ops.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's pretty much what they're going to be doing, is having snack much?
Oh, some sharp cheddar cheese slices.
All right.
It's kind of dinner. I just thought maybe that'd be like a mission to assassinate, you know, a high-value target or something, perhaps.
All right. So like a, well, I guess
sniper,
it would be
sniper
a profit
mission or something, you know.
Right. Do you think we would see any Marine support type of missions where you have...
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at the start, I can see it more trying to be all action-y, trying to get people just really engaged in it. But as it goes on, you know, it's really going to start focusing on Halo community and be a lot of cool different things.
Yeah. Maybe they have a couple, you know, slower kind of like reconnaissance-based missions, like kind of like Nightfall mission in Halo Reach or something like that.
That'd be fun.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Would
you know, I mean, it's just like, hey, you want an idea? I mean, just look at, you know, military spec ops in real life. I mean, they do all sorts of different missions. I mean, you know, kind of translate that into Halo universe. Like, there you go, possibly.
Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities that with Spartan Ops that they could do a lot with. One of the things being, and I want to know what you guys think about this, but we got a glimpse of space battles in Reach. And I think a lot of people really wanted to see more of that kind of thing. Would you think
more saber gameplay?
Well, not necessarily saber, but whatever.
Longsword or whatever.
Whatever, yeah, whatever space vehicle that 343 decides to put in the game. How excited would you guys be if you were to have this epic, like two or three epic space battle type scenarios that you go out and just, it'd be like, forget the carrier, something or other, and you're just fighting Covenant in space.
I personally think it'd be downright amazing. So,
I think it would be one of the best experiences ever, because we got that one glimpse in Reach, and a lot of people were asking for more after that.
I mean, I don't think there's any way I can say that that wouldn't be awesome. There's no reason. If you don't think that'd be cool, then I think you're playing the wrong game.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool. You know, maybe they could take what was started in Reach and make it a little more advanced, like a little more complex, the gameplay and like the ship itself and stuff. It'd be also cool if you could switch between a third-person view of the ship and then like a first-person cockpit view. That'd be cool. So, yeah.
Also, what about doing air-to-ground missions? Would that be a possibility?
Like the mission Long Night Assault, where you start out on the beach fighting Covenant, but then you go into space?
Yeah, but kind of like the opposite of that. So you start into space, you have to fight your way through Covenant, and then you land on the beach, and you have to get like some kind of alien artifact off before the Covenant get to it or something.
It'd be cool if they could do like maybe a Helljumper thing, right? Shen Yan. Or either these parachutes or just something, right? Or maybe like one mission, you get shot down and you crash or something, but it's like scripted and you get like ejected and parachute down or something like that.
I could see that being
right. Or you have to like fight your way through a forest and get to a beacon for extraction.
Yeah, something cool like that. I mean, something kind of like, yeah, like something you don't expect. Yeah.
That would be interesting. I hope that they have a lot of ideas like this where they can really test the Reach multiplayer system.
Yeah.
And really expand on the universe and giving us these extra experiences with Spartan Ops.
Yeah. Basically just not be generic. You know, right. Just be very creative with it, really blow everyone away. I mean, don't make it just be Spec Ops like, but Halo. Make it really, really memorable.
Because Firefight's great and all, but if you can somehow incorporate all these other ideas that people have been tossing up throughout the years with how Halo has progressed, I think they have a lot of potential to really come up with some creative content and storylines for your Spartan 4.
Yeah.
And then there's the fact that you're going to be interacting alongside with the Chief's storyline as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two storylines overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really see it, you know, coming up too much in like them interacting the campaign as far as I can see it as like two separate complete things. Are you going to, because when you're playing in Spartan Ops, you're not going to be the Chief.
Right.
You're going to be a Spartan 4, so.
But from what it sounded like, there's definitely a good amount of interaction between your Spartan on the Infinity and Master Chief in the campaign. Granted, they're not going to be directly affecting each other. You're not going to be playing alongside, but there are going to be instances where you're crossing over or you're touching the other storyline and possibly that will kind of lead some of this story behind Spartan Ops.
Yeah.
Now,
I was thinking maybe, you know, maybe it'll be like a big battle and you see it from different perspectives. Maybe like Chiefs, like in a single player campaign, you play as Chief, you know, fighting away on the ground on foot or something. And then maybe a Spartan Ops, you maybe provide air support or like, there's a big naval battle going on up above or something.
Right.
That you take part in. Or I was thinking, right now I'm playing a lot of it's a game called Lord of the Rings War in the North. Came out, I believe, in November. Pretty recent game. And in the story, it takes place the same time as the movies, but it's like different events. And you play as these kind of like characters made specifically for the game that like help out, you know, Frodo and like the characters of the movies and stuff, like, you know, kind of behind the scenes stuff you do. You know, maybe go take out a bunch of monsters that like would have basically ambushed them had you not taken them out. Just like you're helping them along the way, but you don't necessarily interact with them that much. Maybe it's just something like that in Halo where the Spartans aboard the Infinity help out Chief, even though he doesn't necessarily realize it. Just kind of taking it from that game.
Well, I guess that'd be cool. Like it would be something like a different, it would be in the same context, but you would be like behind the mountain that where all the Covenant were going to come from. That'd be cool.
Now, the only funny thing in my mind about having these two stories cross between each other is you're going to be able to play the campaign at your own pace. So you could basically knock out the campaign in the first night that you get it. I have a feeling most people do that anyways. But then it sounds like these Spartan op missions are coming out on a week-by-week basis, and there's going to be crossing down the line somehow. Well, how will that affect people that are really into the story of Halo and Master Chief? Now, I know for a lot of people that just are strictly focused on multiplayer, that's not as big a concern. But in terms of having the two stories overlap, I could see that.
I'm not gonna say that anything's gonna be canon in these. It's gonna be more like a mission. Like you're gonna be able to, like it's just gonna be. If you were talking about, like you're gonna have to go pick up this person from here and save.
Well, from what Frankie has made it sound like, there's a purpose behind the multiplayer side of Halo 4. There's a purpose behind the Spartan Force.
Oh, I mean, like a purpose in canon.
Yeah,
purpose, but. You know, I mean, I would be surprised if what they do. I would be pleasantly. I'm not gonna say it's a bad thing, but I just don't expect to see anything that happens in Spartan Ops be taken as canon toward the Halo universe. I'd say it'd be fun, but I wouldn't expect it. So I'm like, I think it's gonna be less. I mean, of course, you'll see cutscenes and whatnot, but I don't think it's gonna be a focus on that. It's probably gonna be something like really small, explain what's going on, but. But the majority of the mission is going to be on gameplay and not on the story surrounding. It's going to be more like, find this thing here, go there.
Right. Well, in terms of gameplay, yes. But in terms of the two storylines crossing each other,
it's probably going to be something
it's
new.
It's a funny gray area.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change anything. Like, it's not going to add anything to the story. You may just see it from a different perspective. Like, there may be a point in the story where Master Chief has to take off, like, this missile silo at the same time that this team has to take out this other missile silo. And while you do that in the campaign as Chief, maybe one of the Spartan Ops things is you'll be playing against – you'll be doing it from their perspective as a team. So.
Also, I'm wondering how Spartan Ops is going to be – like delivered. Is it going to be basically a DLC pack that you get whenever the chapter or the season of the Spartan Ops is over? Because I wouldn't imagine they would reuse their map space over and over again for Spartan Ops if they have this many seasons planned.
They said it was going to be the Spartan Ops missions were going to be in the matchmaking shop, right? Like along with armor and all that kind of stuff. So I assume, you know, what is it, every Friday, every Monday, whenever the day is going to be, you just, like, get on and, like, oh, new stuff in the shop, and you'll just, like, see the missions in there to buy with your matchmaking currency.
So does that limit what they can do with the Spartan Ops? I mean, I wouldn't think so, but...
If it's, like, a download or something, right? I mean, they can just, you know, however big it is.
And... I mean, maybe that plays into what we're going to see with Forge. Because from what it sounds like, they're making some vast improvement to Forge. And if they can forge those spaces and actually make somewhat different play spaces that you can use in Spartan Ops and Forge, then we might be seeing a completely renovated Forge system.
That would be nice. It would be cool if you could make like a mission inside of Forge. I don't know how they would be able to load all that content at once, because I'm pretty sure when you're playing the campaign and Spartan Ops, they have it coded so that certain things load at certain times, and that'd be cool if they could do it in Forge, but I don't see it as, you know.
What I'm thinking is we'll probably get a limited set of their tools, and they probably have some scripting tools that they can code into their scenarios and push those out with the Spartan Ops seasons. Then with the Forge stuff, we just get a limited set for multiplayer. That would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not talking Forge right now. As they said on the Game Informer podcast, the only thing that they've really mentioned is that, yes, there's going to be Forge. There's going to be a lot of new features to it, and that's about it. So, in terms of news for Forge, I probably wouldn't expect to see anything specific come out at E3 or before E3, but we'll probably see something late summer come out about Forge information.
Do you think that people outside of the Halo universe really even care about Forge as much?
Yeah, it's called custom games. You can be a casual and not care about the fiction and still enjoy custom games with your friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at game types like Speed and all the infection game types that a lot of people like as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The racetrack maps, Forge Hub, you have Griffball.
Yeah.
So there are definitely quite a bit of people out there that enjoy custom games.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't they know might not the use...
Go on.
Sorry. They might not use Forge themselves, but they really enjoy the game types and maps that other people make and have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily the majority, but of course, you know, a large part of the Halo fan base, they don't really, like, they don't even care about the story or even the campaign. They just, you know, they love the matchmaking, the competitive multiplayer, the normal multiplayer, but then they also love the custom games, too. Just, you know, it's a fun thing to play at the end of the week or the end of the day or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd say it matters to people, you know, who don't care about the fiction.
So, with the lead up to Forge, what do you guys think we will, or what do you guys think we will get that we haven't had in Forge 2.0? Because I know one of the things that a lot of people are asking for is something other than gray.
Yeah, they'll definitely get more colors. I mean, they'll probably may let you change the colors of objects, or like maybe they'll have not necessarily it's like solid colors. Maybe it's like, for example, maybe they're like one object will be a crate of some kind, and you can kind of change like the
skins.
Like the skins, like the look of the theme of it exactly. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because I'm thinking if, with how this Forge thing works, if it's how we've been speculating on it, there's probably a chance to have a lot of different texture packs. And since the multiplayer is basically in a virtual space, well, you could do a lot with a virtual space. It's just a matter of what tools we will be able to have with Forge. And my next question on top of that is, what features would we like to see in Forge that we that we've been asking for, or maybe would be a nice addition?
You know, I don't personally Forge enough to know what would nice to be added. Maybe to make it a little easier, because I just feel overwhelmed when I'm doing it. So maybe it's a good thing, because maybe it would be too easy.
Well, defined overwhelmed.
Like, I don't know where to start.
It means impatient. No, seriously, I mean, you know, you gotta kind of sit down with some time on your hands and, you know, kind of like go through the lists of stuff and whatnot. I mean, it just take, you know, patience.
Maybe some videos on how to do it, because I don't know what to do. Like, I'm putting stuff in places, and you guys know all these tricks. And
well, it's from what I've done with Forge, it's just you have a idea for a map, and then once you have the basics of the map laid out, you can start adding little features to it, start adding your weapon drops, start adding your game type specific spawns or points on the map. We've never had a real Forge-focused show, I guess, have we?
Well, we're not Forge Hub.
No, but Forge is one of the...
We have in the past, yeah. I mean, we've had...
A little bit, you know. We've had some Forge creators on here, yeah. You know.
Right, but we haven't had one recently.
Yeah, because we don't do custom...
I think an interesting thing to add to the Forge system would be switches and doors connected to those switches. Yes. Right? Like they have in campaign, like, you know, hold whatever, or even like multiplayer maps, hold... your right bumper, press the switch, door goes up, door goes down, or just stuff like that.
Or like a light bridge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, just make the maps and the Forge objects interactable, basically. Not just a bunch of blunt objects.
Because right now, all of our switches are mines and fusion coils with crates and gravity. Yeah,
and that's so crude.
But you have to give credit to at least the people that came up with that system and can actually implement it well.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
And those are the people that get the most out of Forge, is the people that can actually bend Forge to their will and come out with these awesome maps that a lot of average Halo players would not be able to create.
Like a Rube Goldberg kind of machine?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're my Forge.
What were we saying, Greg?
I lost. I was just enjoying what you guys were saying. Sorry.
Oh. I'm in his forging.
I'm right on with you guys for what you should be doing and what needs to be changed, because I just don't. I have a problem with just starting. So,
what would if 343 were to change Forge in a way that would make it easier for you to get into Forge? What changes would you think needs to happen?
You just have to have videos that can actually show me what to do with the controller, because I'm not really.
You know, there is the pause menu that gives you all the controls, right?
No, I mean, show me in a video. I'm not trying to say that. I want to see like it in a video and see how it's done. I'm pretty sure though that if I sat down and actively, I'm pretty sure anybody could do it. If they sat down and tried to do it, I'm pretty sure it's not that difficult. But you know, I'm not that personally interested in it. I'm not going to say because I'm not interested in it, it's stupid. It's just I just don't get it as much. Like I play Little Big Planet, and they had tons and tons and tons of videos on how to do certain things.
Yeah.
Just made that,
Little Big Planet is like Forged the game in a way.
Yeah, but well, I actually understood it.
You actually bring up an interesting point, because there's a lot of video content on Waypoint. There's multiplayer content, there's campaign content, there's Halo Wars content. But if come to think of it, I don't think there's much, if any, Forged content. Well, I think you might be onto something.
If by campaign content you mean, hey, pile all these vehicles on top of the Scarab before you blow it up for a bigger explosion. Well, yeah,
some of them are for the younger audience.
to put it very lightly, right?
Hey, it's there for a reason.
If you wanted to start making videos and put them on PodTech, then I'm all for it.
I am putting out, hopefully, our little test pilot tonight for our little video thing that people have been asking for. So,
what do you mean, that daily video thing?
Well, it's not going to be daily. It's going to be.
I wouldn't mind helping in any way, because I can edit. I'm a pretty good writer. So whatever.
All right.
What ifs?
Yeah.
What ifs?
But yeah, we're gonna. Like I said on the last podcast, you weren't here, Greg, but we're going to try doing one at least twice a week, and see how that goes in terms of us having time to actually produce them and get them out. And it's kind of a bad timing because a lot of the Halo 4 news is now winding down. But
people reach stuff.
Well, I mean,
people have
E3's coming up, right? That's gonna be a huge explosion.
That's what, a month and a half away. Yeah. So I guess this would be a good time to like practice and see what kind of stuff would need to be done in order to get it out.
Work the kinks out before it starts.
Exactly.
And huge.
But you guys have been asking for it, so we're going to try it, see if you guys like it, and if we have enough support for it, then we'll keep on doing them. Well, if not, then we'll back off a little bit.
Don't think of this as like what the Halo Council does when they do, like, they're all in a big old room and they just talk to each other. It's going to be like...
No, it's going to be short, 5-7 minutes, just kind
you're
of
not
a...
Be watching a podcast. It's not going to be something you're going to watch for, like, hours. It's going to be short videos.
Right.
People have been asking for, or maybe it might eventually be long videos, but the video will have an overall theme.
If you've seen stuff like the videos that Green Skull does, the videos that Halo 4 Follower does, the videos that Naked Eli does, then it's going to be similar to that.
Well, I hope it actually means something at the time. I'm sorry, I didn't say that.
I'm keeping my mouth shut on that one. Anyways. Moving back on to Halo 4, there was also a... What?
Yes.
There was a New York event, a VIP event, on the 25th of April that we have mentioned before. And from what it sounds like, there's really not much new to what we've seen already. It was,
except people got to play it and we weren't one of them.
People got to play it. People got to... basically watch the first 10 minutes of the Halo story. But
see,
we'll talk about
I'm more interested in.
We'll talk about that on Thursday.
Because then if you could see... If you could probably watch 5 minutes, you have a better idea what's going on.
Right. They said there's a lot of similarities between stuff that we've seen in past Halo games. The experience is similar, at least the initial Covenant encounter. So we're going to talk about more of that in our next show. And we're also going to touch on the article that Game Informer put out about Cortana's rampancy. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. So Miguel Chavez and Claude Herrera, two of the admins or the posters over at halo.bungie.org put some write-ups up. And one of the things that, when I was reading through, that popped out at me was, it seemed like for the ordnance drops, there was something tied to the armor loadouts. And I'm trying to find it in here where specifically said it. But from what it sounded like, there was a perk of some kind on with the armor loadout that you have that you were able to see some ordnance drops before some other people.
Maybe if you permit the Forerunner vision?
They didn't say specifically what it was maybe, like, tied to.
If you have sprint, maybe you can see the sniper, or maybe if you have something, you can see something. Or maybe it's an actual loadout. Like, that's the one you choose.
So, okay, so here's the little bit that I was talking about, and this is actually Claude's write-up of what he did. Gameplay that he did, and this is kind of in the middle of the third to last paragraph, so if you want to go read this, this is under the miscellaneous section, but he says, the second drop was a mine. At some point during the game, I was confronted with a representation of my D-pad with three weapons attached to three of the four buttons. I hit D-pad left, which was linked to a Spartan laser, and the image disappeared. Soon after, I saw the laser had dropped. It was nowhere near me. Clearly, as players learn more about the map, this sort of thing won't happen as much. Again, I have no clue what generated the drops. Frankie suggested that there may be multiple types of drops, and in the games we were playing, these were personal drops. But I saw that they could be used to supplement your armory, or used to set up traps for the other team. Huh. So it looks like there's going to be multiple ordnance drop systems where you'll probably have a steady ordnance drop that you see in the Halo multiplayer already, where it's going to be at a certain time, there's going to be a certain drop of weapons at a certain location. And then I'm guessing with your loadout, you'll be able to pick some of these weapon drops that you can pull out, and they're just going to be randomly spawn throughout the map at what I'm guessing is designated ordnance drop points. Because I'm assuming they just don't drop anywhere on the map.
Well, I mean, the way that I understood it is that that is what happens, is that they do drop at a certain location.
But I think those locations are, like, you know how you have spawn points in Forge? And you have respawn points, you have respawn zones and stuff like that?
Yes.
I want to say, and at least this is how I would think they would do it, is there's those waypoints that you can put down in Forge, and there's probably quite a few of them. Some are main points, some are secondary points, but those are the points where the weapons are going to drop. So if you go into Firefight, for instance, you know there's typically about 4 to 6 places where weapons can drop on the start of a round. And I have a feeling that's going to be a similar system, if not the same system, that we're going to see for these ordnance drops in the Halo 4 multiplayer. Mm. I mean, does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Daft?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll probably see more of these personal drops later on. I'm hoping we get more details about those coming E3. Because I think a lot of people are really lashed onto the multiplayer right now. But hopefully we see a lot more campaign stuff as well. Going on to the bulletin from last week, Frankie wrote it. We didn't cover it that much, but they did make the announcement of Forward Unto Dawn, which is going to be a live-action TV series that they're going to be making that will lead up to Halo 4. I think the events are basically going to, from what I would imagine, cover the UNSC leading up to their discovery of the Chief. So I'm not sure how exactly it's going to tie into the storyline or what kind of references they're going to make between the Covenant and the human armies leading up to the point. But what are your guys' thoughts on what we're going to see in this live-action series? Or what would you want to see?
Want to see some awesome Spartan action, but it seems like it's going to be a little dull. That's just what I'm getting from it. I'm not actually...
Why would you say dull?
I just don't... I mean, in the previous ones, they've always hyped it up that it was going to be awesome. Now, the one before Halo 3 that Blomkamp did was awesome. It just seems like it would be something about maybe him just waking up or them finding him, kind of like the Halo 3 one was, where the whole point of the live-action series was to determine where he was going to fall down at. Something like that. But I don't know. From that one picture, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's going to really be all action-y, but still going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
What do you think, Daft?
Well, I think it could probably be like, you know, the Halo Reach live-action stuff we got, you know. You know, probably similar costume design, you know, effects, etc. So I thought those were, you know, pretty quality. You know, probably pretty good, like, sets and stuff, right? Fits the universe.
Yeah, this is supposed to be, like, a substantial amount of video content, though. I think I saw someone tweet that it was supposed to be upwards of about 70, 75 minutes of stuff. Well, so it's almost like a movie.
If it's that long, there's probably some action in there.
Yeah, we're going to see some action at some point. But this is pretty much a lead up to the Halo 4 story from what rumors are and from what it seems like they're hinting at.
Jeez. That's a long time.
Yeah, that's going to be...
I'm not complaining at all, ladies and germs.
I mean, no offense, 343, but it's going to be a lot better than the animated stuff.
Well, it better be. I didn't like... well, I mean, okay, anyway. You guys know about that.
Yeah, I've refrained from seeing it because I watched the first three on Waypoint when they first came out, and they didn't really appeal to me that much. They were definitely for a different audience than what I was into, but I have them in my Netflix queue. I just haven't gotten into them yet, and being that I run the Halo podcast, I should probably go and watch them.
What, Halo Legends?
There's no time in the day. School and work take up too much time.
I've watched Halo Legends about 5 times. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy it personally. So I think Origins 1 and 2 is great. Other than that,
that's what I've heard, and I haven't watched those. So that'll probably be the first ones I watch then.
Well, they are the first. If you watch it from the start, those are the first two.
All right. Well, they weren't. Not when they were being released on Waypoint, they weren't.
Oh. I mean, now if you watch it from the start, those are the first
two. Right. No, I forget which the first three were that released on Waypoint were. I don't remember. But they were not Origins. I do remember that much.
Yeah, really, the only ones that I thought that anybody would really want to watch would be Origins. But, you know, I mean, some people probably like them.
All right. They also announced, what was it, the new book coming out, the new Karen Travis book, which is going to be The Thursday War.
Yeah. What a weird name.
It is a weird name.
This is
The Thursday War. I mean,
these books kind of go more actually into what's going on right now because it takes place after.
Yeah.
Halo 3.
Kind of this is supposed to be a sequel to Grasslands.
Yeah, it's
Grasslands. What is this Grasslands?
Glasslands.
Glass.
Oh, no, did I say grass? I meant glass.
A little bit.
Oh, I meant Glasslands. Sorry.
Dustin, do you have a little Asian in you?
Dustin's mind is elsewhere.
No, I don't.
Whoa, low blow.
Whatever. I'm working through all the books, though. As people know, I finished The Fall of Reach last week, and I'm planning to be finished with The Flood probably not by the end of this week, but definitely by the end of next week. And I'm hoping to have all the books read before Halo 4 comes out. So
you will enjoy them.
Definitely. I'm sure I will. And maybe I'll actually get past the Ghost of Onyx this time. Because I've started reading that book 4 different times, and I've always stopped. So I'm hoping if I can just bash through all the books out in one go, that I'll get through them all without stopping.
Maybe.
So that's the plan. Wish me luck.
Luck has been wished.
Oh, gosh. I need a... Bleh. That tasted bad. That was dinner. Was there anything else? I don't think there was much else to talk about in terms of multiplayer. I mean, we covered Spartan Ops. We covered Forge. I don't think we'll be seeing many changes to Theater, if any at all. There wasn't really much of a change between Halo 3's Theater and Halo Reach's Theater, was there?
I can't imagine anything else other than maybe the fact that they're going to tell us how we're going to download them, like, I forget what it's called, but that Bungie thing that I bought.
Bungie Pro?
Yeah. I can,
I...
That's the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah.
That they might announce if they're going to do it. Oh, wait. Explain to us how that's going to happen.
That's going to be... Well, a lot of people are interested in it. And a lot of people are right now wanting the file shares back up online. I mean, that's the first thing that has to come. I would expect that they have some kind of plan to bring that back. I would hope they do, because a lot of machine makers relied on that system instead of going out and buying a capture card. Even though in the end it seemed like a capture card would be a more cheaper way to do it after you make so many videos. But a lot of people relied on that system, so I would think in order to appeal back to the community, they would bring back something like that for Halo 4. I don't see why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like something that would be a really good idea that they might be missing out on. So
another thing that they
see it.
Another thing that they have taken out that I guess more of a closed group would want to see this back, but is the stats API. And from what it sounds like, 343 hasn't really been focusing on producing a public API for people to use. Now, a lot of people are kind of speculating this, and I believe speculating on this wrongly, is that 343 and Microsoft want everyone to go to their site for stats. But if you look at it, a lot of people still went back to Bungie for stats. It's just with how some of these communities develop and do their stuff, it's easy for them to have stats that they can access and process on their own and produce and show it in a way that the Bungie stats couldn't necessarily do, and tailor the stats to a very specific display. So, like, take Griffball Hub, for example. They had certain stats that they were pulling out for assassinations and betrayals and stuff like that. And that's not easily or readily configurable on the Bungie stats, but with the stats API, they could go in and create their own graphical interpretation of the stats, and they could use it that way. So I don't think it's really degrading or pulling away people going to the website to view the stats. It's just they're tethering the stats to their specific needs that supplements 3-4, well, what will be 3-4-3 stats.
For those people that are completely lost what he's talking about, an API is for programmers to basically use data to their whims, and that's what he's talking about. So certain places like Forge Hub use the data in a certain way rather than just looking at it and controlled it to whatever the way that they wanted to use it. And it is nice that you can do whatever the heck you want with it, because like if you just want to add up all of your kills for one day, just make a computer do it rather than you doing it. It's a hell of a lot easier to write a program if you know
how right. to do it. Right, and it's not as easy to do that on Bungie because all their stats are done by game. But when you can go through and pull the games with that interface to get all the data, then it's a lot easier to do it that way than have to manually going through your daily stats on the stat page. So yeah. It's little things like that where I think that's where 343 needs to listen to the community and bring those types of things back. And I would assume that they're bringing most of it back.
Now that it's I know just depending how to on program. I have fun with it, so.
Well, it's not there anymore, so you're kind of stuck in the water.
Yeah, I'm saying when it comes back.
Oh, when it comes back, yes. But just another one of my little thoughts of rants. Unless anyone else has anything to say, I think that's pretty much it for this show.
No, I mean, check us out on all of our iTunes and everything. And
iTunes, Zune, RSS.
If you guys don't already subscribe to the Halo Reddit, go over there. Check out some of the other cool Halo stuff that's been coming out. A lot of people have been coming up with different podcasts and everything. So there's a lot of good Halo content out there right now.
Yeah. So especially with all the information that we've received recently.
If you want to hear what we've said 10 times by 10 different people, you've got plenty of options, let me tell you.
Well, it's always nice to see a fresh, new interpretation of the information that you get.
Well, I am not complaining. I enjoy listening to all of it.
I mean, there's definitely other podcasts out there that take a different approach than what we take on our show, and it's nice to see or to get some of those interpretations and see how the rest of the community is reacting to stuff. And in return, I hope that it helps make this podcast better. Now,
for the longest time, we've been the only ones, so it's getting a little lonely.
Well, when we picked it up, we weren't the only ones. There were plenty of other ones, but
now,
back in Fumo's day, Podtackle was prime time, man. That was where it was at. I do have to at least come
Let's
out
make it prime time again
and say this. We have gotten some negative feedback on some of our shows, and I'm just gonna come out and say this. There, with every show, there's gonna be people that like it and people that don't like it, and I know there's been some other shows that have hit on us, and while we don't go out and publicly hit on other shows, I know there's some shows that I personally don't take a high interest to, but I go ahead and listen anyway because, yes, they are part of the Halo community at large, and it is important to listen to what other people have to say. But if you have an issue with the show, just go ahead and email us, at least voice your opinion, be constructive about it, and we will read it and listen to it, and we will try to make changes appropriately as long as it doesn't go against what we like to do with the show.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you know, we're not going to start cussing every 10 seconds, so don't say you're bored listening to us, because if you're bored, it's not really...
I'm just going to take a stab in the dark here and theorize that the people criticizing us are either Obama supporters or MLG supporters or MLG supporters, or they're both.
Oh, well, you hit the nail on the head. Obama supporters are the people that are hating Podtech.
Democrats, riffraff.
How did you know? I don't know how you figured that out so easily, Dad.
I'm not going to say who it is because the people that listen know that they've commented on in places. So I just want to say that if you have something that you don't like about the show, just email us about it and we'll try to make changes and hopefully make the show better. And I know that we're not going to be able to fulfill everyone's desire to have a podcast home, but
we will.
No, that's the kind of attitude that will get us in trouble, Greg.
There is no, no.
But if you enjoy listening to the show, or maybe you listen to it, but it's not quite up to par with what you're looking for in the podcast, feel free to contact me directly, or you can send us an email at our front-facing email, which is theguardians@podtackler.com. So have at it, as long as it's a...
Yeah. Don't call Fumo. He's not going to help you. So.
Well,
but don't call him.
I don't think his number is publicly listed, so I don't think it would matter. But feel free to just send us an email. Let us know what your thoughts are on the podcast. And we don't get it probably enough, but any constructive criticism, or any kind of criticism for that matter, would help us become better. and make a podcast that's more fun for people to listen to and enjoy. So just wanted to get that out there and wrap up the show on that. Remember, you can check us out on our website, which is podtackler.com. And while you're there, head on over to the forums. You can also call our listener voicemail. And since I don't have that number memorized quite yet, the number is 206-339-6937. And you can leave your voicemail there, and we will play those maybe on the next show, because that'll be a wrap-up of our little three-part series that we're doing right now, or maybe on the show after that. So if you have any comments or questions about what you've heard on the last two shows or what we'll be talking about on the next show, feel free to either submit them to our email, which is submissions@podtackler.com, or you can use the green button on our homepage, or you can call in and leave a voicemail. Our next show will be talking about the Halo 4 campaign and the article that Game Informer released about a week and a half ago, which is Cortana's Rampancy. And hopefully we will have some people that are a little bit more knowledgeable about the campaign than we are on the show to help talk about that.
Her rampancy is like, it's like a female eye's, what, menopause? All right, let's go with that route.
I think it's a little bit worse than that. I think it's people, if you can compare it to someone going crazy.
You can't really just menopause. You can't really take something out and then all of a sudden it's fixed with rampancy.
That doesn't quite work like that. So thanks again, guys, for listening. And until the next few days again, keep on fragging those trucks.